thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
One of the things that I remember, it was the day when my wife and I got married, right? And all the planning, all of the invitation, all of the work that goes into that one day, right? And I remember, right, not seeing her, right, during that whole day of our wedding day, right? And all of a sudden somebody comes to me and says, she's late. Right. And being late is part of, you know, a wedding day, right? It's you're supposed to be late, right? But all of a sudden, right, at the moment when I heard those words, right, there's something that happens, I believe, with each and every human being, right? It's we just don't like to wait, right? And even though this waiting had this great outcome at the end, right, it's a waiting that brings a level of anxiety, right, excitement, anxiousness. I want the waiting to be over, right? And waiting is one of those things that, right, if I ask you, right, do you enjoy waiting? Right, most of us don't like waiting, right? And most of us would do whatever we can do not to wait, right? But this particular psalm, right, is going to ask us, right, in its verses, right, the ability to wait upon the Lord, right? Like some of us right now, we're waiting upon the Lord in reference of, hey, so what's going to happen with rent? Right? We're waiting. We're holding our breaths, right? And we want an answer, and to some degree, we want a particular answer, right? But we don't know, right? And in our human experience, waiting is built into it. Right, it's like what happens when you're sitting in traffic? Do you enjoy waiting? Right. What happens when Christmas is? You're on Christmas Eve and you're packing the presents and you're trying to control the kids as they wait. Right. Sometimes waiting is the anticipation or the birth of a child, waiting, right? It's, you know, it's right there, but it's like, well, what's that baby going to look like? Is that a baby going to have my nose? Right? What's it going to sound like? Who is that baby going to say first, mama or daddy, right? Waiting, right? And probably the place that you and I struggle the most with waiting is here. Right? It's, you know, as long as the light is green, we're moving forward. Right? And then every once in a while, right, as you're moving forward, it might go from green to yellow. And for some reason, you think that's the time to speed up. Right. And for some of us, right, it's like, but when we get stuck behind that red light, it's like, oh, if I would have just been going a little bit faster. Right. And Right? And especially if you have somewhere to go and you're running late. Right? And all of a sudden, that time that you are waiting for that light to change feels like eternity. Like, oh, come on, right? And it's sometimes it gets bad, right? That you're anticipating for it to change to green and you're on the horn. Yeah, come on, guy, move, right? Because I'm done waiting. Right? And but God has, in scripture and in our experience, where we're sometimes supposed to wait. Right? And as believers, it's about resting in that waiting. Because if you was to really look at a red traffic light, right? There's a good chance that every once in a while that red traffic light saved your life. Right? Because you don't know. Right? Like sometimes you hear of an accident. You go, man, if I wasn't at that light, I would have probably been right in it. Right? But we don't tend to think of the benefits of waiting. Right? But scripture is going to talk about waiting upon the Lord. But even in waiting upon the Lord, right, it's like you never look at an individual, right, and say to them, oh, he's just waiting on the Lord, right? No, we tend to say, oh, he is highly favored. He is blessed, right? For somebody waiting on the Lord, it's like, what's wrong with you? Like, what are you waiting on, right? It's almost like there's a negative way in which we look at this term or this phrase, and from our human experience, we think waiting is bad, right? And I'm here to say that waiting is part of our walk with God, right? And waiting is really just waiting upon the Lord to see what he's going to do as long as you've done everything you needed to do. Right? And so we've been spending some time in the Psalms, right? We're going to spend the rest of this year in the Psalms. And in this particular Psalm, Psalm 130, right, is a psalm of a collection. Right, and the collection is from Psalm 120 to 134, and all of those are identified as psalms of ascent, right? Psalms of when you are going up to Mount Zion. Psalms that you would probably sing when you are in pilgrimage going to Jerusalem, and these were probably psalms that you sung before you got to the temple. Right, and not only are these psalms of ascent, and out of the collection, this would be 11, right? But not only is this a psalm of ascent, but we learned last week that there are 7 penitential psalms, and this is also one of those psalms, right? And this is a short psalm. But it's a psalm that most commentators would say it is a psalm that contains the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, right in the middle of it, because it provides the very thing that Jesus would provide, right? And that is forgiveness of our sin, right? And we're going to see that, right? And we're going to peel back verse by verse what the psalmist was communicating through his own experience, as we too can learn, right, from the psalmist who wrote this many, many years ago, and how relevant it is in our life today, right? That waiting is something that is woven into the Christian experience, right? So embrace it, right? Don't try to, you know, go past it or go around it. But if God has you waiting, that's probably this place he wants you, right? Because the psalmist is going to cry out that I'm waiting for you, Lord. Let us give our attention. A song of ascents. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my plea for mercy. Right? So we see that, right, that this is a psalm of a pilgrimage. We're going to the temple, right? And part of going to the temple during the periods of pilgrimage is to get your heart right with God before you get there, right? And he uses this term, out of the depths, right? And in the Hebrew, the implication would be that you are in an abyss in the middle of the ocean. Like, that's where the psalmist's sin has brought him to, right? And when you use phrases like depths, abyss, right, it's a place of chaos. It's a place of not knowing. It's a place where you are identifying I and I alone had got myself into a predicament, right? And out of that place, you're crying out to God, right? And you see the emphasis of, oh, Lord, Lord, right? And the first Lord there is all capitalized. And we learned a few weeks ago, right, that the first Lord is really in reference to the covenant relationship that the people of Israel have with God, and that is Jehovah, right? All caps. And then the second Lord is in reference to Adonai, which means master, right? So one is in reference to the covenant relationship that he has with the people of Israel through the patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the promises that he made, right? And then the second one is where he is Adonai, master, right? And you can hear the heart of the psalmist. Hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my plea for mercy, right? That's his cry. And all of that, right? He is saying, right, that particular place of being in the abyss of the ocean, it is my sin that brought me there, right? And when we ask ourselves, right, well, Old Testament, well, what kind of sin could he be talking about, right? It could be where he took the Lord's name in vain. It could be where he did something on the Sabbath. It could be, right, where he made an idol. It could be where, right, he defamed his family. It could be murder, right? It could be all the things that you would say you don't deserve for God to hear you because you're evil, right? But that person who committed that sin is saying, Lord, even if they don't forgive me, I need you to forgive me. I need you to hear me from this place, right? Because sometimes you and I can look at people and say, they don't deserve that. They don't deserve mercy. But guess what? Neither do you, right? You don't deserve mercy. I don't deserve mercy, right? But again, it's an amazing psalm. It's so short and compact, right? But it provides everything that you and I need, right? Because how many of you need mercy today, right? Right, and as you need mercy, right, guess what you and I have to do, right? We have to wait. Does he hear me? Does he not hear me? Is he going to respond? Is he not going to respond? Is he going to turn to me? Right, Because you and I know those other Psalms, right? It's where you're stuck in the miry bog, right, of your life. And all of a sudden you cry to the Lord and he inclined his ear to you. He heard you. He pulled you out of the muck and mire of your life. He set your feet upon a rock. He put a new hymn of song in your mouth. Many would see and fear. Right? These are all things that we cannot do for ourselves, but God does for us. Right? And here's the thing, right? The psalmist knows that he has committed something that he needs God to address, right? And he knows God enough to say, you know what? He's the only one I can go to. He's the only one that can take care of my issue. But to trust out of the depth, right? Because sometimes we think our sin has brought us to a place that not even God can hear us. Right? And his cry is, hear my voice, Lord. May your ears be attentive to my voice. May your ears be open to my cry. For pleas of mercy. For pleas of your grace. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand? Right? Here's what he's saying, right? If you, O Lord, should remember all of our sins, right? All of them. Like, ask yourself, do you remember all your sins? Right? From way back when, right? Like sometimes we sit where we stand today and we think we're so righteous. Be careful, right? Right, but the psalmist says, if you were to mark all of my iniquities, all of my sins, right, it's who can stand? But with you, there is forgiveness, right? It's here's the one time in your life and in my life where we appreciate the but. Right? Like usually when we're talking with somebody and they go, well, but. Right? It's almost as if they are discounting what we just said. Right? But here in Scripture, it is the one time where the but, we go, thank God there's a but there. Right? But with you and you alone, Lord, there is forgiveness. That you may be feared. Right? And here is where we would see the Old Testament picture of the gospel, of the good news, right? Because it is the picture of our need for mercy, and it is our need for the forgiveness that only God and God alone can provide, right? And here's how you have to understand this, right? Especially from the Hebrew point of view, right? You see where it says, but with you, there is forgiveness. To read it in the Hebrew, there is no verb, but it carries a more direct application. With you, forgiveness is how the Hebrew reads. With you, forgiveness. Right, and I know that as we sit and go, well, what kind of forgiveness? Is there forgiveness right now? Is there forgiveness in the near future? Is this the forgiveness that allows my life to shake in my skin because I don't know that when I stand before the throne of God, that judgment's going to come my way? And also it's like, well, did he really forgive me? Or is he going to hold that against me? Right, and part of our Christian walk is also to have assurance, to be able to walk with your head up high, right? And there are four things that James Montgomery Boyce would say that we receive in reference to this particular forgiveness. He would say, God's forgiveness is inclusive. It's all-inclusive, right? That when we turn to God and we ask for forgiveness, that God doesn't all of a sudden place certain limitations, or he says, well, I'm only going to forgive you a little bit. I'm going to see how you do, and then I'll forgive you a little bit more, right? If you in your heart say, Lord, you and you alone are the only one that can provide this forgiveness. If your heart is seeking that, God would provide it for you, even if you don't even know what you're asking for, as long as your heart, right? Because sometimes our heart and our mind are in two different places, right? So God's forgiveness is inclusive, I mean, right? The second is, God's forgiveness is for right now, right? It's, if you ask for it, he provides it right now, right? It's, he doesn't make you jump through hoops, right? And this forgiveness that's right now is a forgiveness that isn't limited because the people in your life don't want to forgive you, right? Sometimes they won't forgive you. But here's what you need to know. God forgives you if you seek that forgiveness. He forgives you. God's forgiveness is for those who want it, right? If you're asking, it's because you want it, right? It's because you know that your choices have really affected your relationship with God. And then lastly, right? God's forgiveness leads to godly living, right? As a result of you receiving the very thing that you're seeking, that is then going to produce a life that wants to live and honor God, right? Some would say, right, early on in church history, right, that maybe those that are seeking forgiveness are looking for forgiveness because if you know, if you just seek God, he's going to forgive you. And that's what they call cheap grace, right? Right, and that's why I said, if in your heart of hearts, you're seeking God, right? And once you identify the very thing that God has provided for you in the forgiveness that you're seeking, you're going to want to live a life that's honoring to God. Especially if the Holy Spirit is living and dwelling in you, because that will convict you even more. But remember what he said, right, in reference to the end of this verse. Right, let's see. That you may be feared, right, is what he says, right, at the end of verse 4, right? And that is that reverence of fear, right? And here's how you have to interpret that fear piece, right? If he's Lord, Yahweh, and he's your master, Adonai, and he's the one and only one that can extend mercy to you and for you, and he is the only one that can provide the very thing that you and I need, which is forgiveness, right? Then that fear is really obedience, right? That I would live a life of obedience, following him. That I would learn from the very thing that God is rescuing me from the depths of, right? and make sure that I don't do it again. That I would learn that this forgiveness, in the end, was paid for, right? Which is what you and I are going to celebrate in a few weeks with Easter. But more so than Easter, what happens during Holy Week? Right? That God and God alone, right? He sacrificed himself for you, right? And so when I say the you, you need to really personalize that, right? It's that God died for you, right? So when you know that the very thing you're asking for, which is forgiveness, it's you know that there was a price that was paid. Right? And that's why many commentators see this psalm, Psalm 130, there are many other places, but one of those gems of the gospel hidden in the Old Testament. I wait for the Lord, right? There it is, right? Waiting, right? Waiting. It's like, did he hear me? Is he going to do what I asked? I wait, right? Because at this moment, there's nobody else that can provide what you need, right? Just like when I was getting married, there was nobody else that I was expecting to come through that back door than my wife to be, right? I was expecting her to come down that aisle. I wait for Yahweh. I wait for the God who made his covenant promises with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Promises that he says, I'm going to keep this promise, even though you might break it. Not only do I wait for the Lord, but my soul waits, right? The innermost part of who I am waits for him. And in his word, I hope, right? It's his word that for us is in Holy Scripture, right? It is the very thing that communicates to our hearts who our God is. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. And that phrase that ends this verse 6 is a military phrase, right? So these were the military men that would stand, right, the third watch of the night, right? And they would sit on top of the walls, right? And not only would they be looking for an enemy, right, but they would be looking for the sun to break, right? And like, have you ever worked third shift, right? And all of a sudden, it's like you're dragging. It's like, okay, it's going to happen soon. It's going to happen, right? And all of a sudden, it happens. And all of a sudden, there's like this bolt of energy, like, I'm out of here. I'm out. I'm done, right? It's that kind of excitement, right? As we wait, right? It's for God to hear our cry from the depths of where we've been, to know that the thing we cry for is mercy and forgiveness, to have an ongoing relationship with the living God, the very one we're asking for, even though sometimes our human relationships are broken. But we wait, right? Maybe there is a season of waiting where those relationships can get mended. Maybe some of us are waiting now, right? But we sit just like those watchmen on top of that. It's like, okay, it's going to happen. We sit with anticipation because our God is much greater than we give him credit for. And then right? The psalm changes, right? Because the anticipation is that God provided what he needed. And as a result of that, he is going to teach others, right? Sometimes God will answer our prayers and we kind of keep it to ourselves, right? But it's important to tell people when God answers your prayers, right? It's important to tell people, let me tell you what God did for me, right? And yes, you can trust him, right? It's because I was in a very dark place, right? And out of somewhere deep within me, it's like he was like my only hope, but he was my hope, right? And all of a sudden I cried out to him, right? And he pulled me out of that place. Israel, hope in the Lord, right? He and he alone is the only one that we can have our hope in. A lot of times we put our hope in so many other things, things that will disappoint you, right? People will disappoint you. Your pastor will disappoint you. He's got to say it like it is, right? Sometimes you might come to me with a problem and the answer I give you, you might not like, right? And as you're like leaving me and saying, oh, that was a waste of time, right? We got to turn to God and say, Lord, is that the only answer, right? It's like, no, he is our answer, right? For with the Lord, there is steadfast love, and that steadfast love is that Hebrew word chesed, and it's a love that just pours on and pours on and pours on, and when you're choking on the love of God, he gives you a little bit more, right? Because he and he alone provides what you and I need, which is forgiveness, to be made right with God. And with him is plentiful redemption, right? There it is, the gospel, right? It's as I receive what I needed so much, let me tell the nation, let me tell those that are around me, let me tell them of my God. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities, right? From all of the things. And here's the thing with the nation of Israel, right? It's the nation of Israel throughout the history was allowed to go astray and worship idols, right? And if there's one thing that gets God upset is when his people worship idols, right? And my hope is that you're not worshiping any idols, that you don't have any lucky rabbit foot, that you don't sit there in your moments of need where you pray for God and all of a sudden you start crossing your fingers and legs and hoping, right? Or that you don't sit back after you pray and you go, well, knock on wood. It's like, what is that, right? That's not going to help you if you're in the depths of your sin and you need somebody to pull you out, right? But sometimes we want to cover all bases just in case. Right, he rescues us from all our iniquities. Right, so here's the question: what are you waiting for this morning? What are you looking for from God this morning? Right? Maybe you had your heart set that an individual is supposed to provide certain things for you. Maybe you think your job is supposed to provide certain things for you. Maybe you have tried to set up certain things so that you can be safe and secure, right? And And God is saying, is all of that going to help you when you really just need me? What are you waiting for? Right, so yesterday I was sitting there with Ran and Eileen, right, in the hospital. Right, and I'm looking at my friend, right, he doesn't look like the friend that I know, right? But he's there. Right, and Eileen is trying to put on her best face, right? And I said to her, right, and to Ran, I said, you know, it's February 12th is when you got the news that he has cancer, right? And here we are a month and a half later, right? Treatment's supposed to start on Monday. And right, and at that moment, I'm saying, this waiting stinks. Right, because it should have happened much sooner, right? And all of a sudden, right, it's I'm dealing with this psalm, right? And right, so out of the pit, right, I say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for thinking that this condition that Ran has is beyond you. Right, and obviously there is a reason that this is taken this long, right? And maybe not only are you trying to teach me something, but you're trying to teach everybody who knows Ran something, right? And all of a sudden it's like, okay, Lord, right, I'm waiting upon you, right? And because here's the thing, right? It's in the midst of our conversation, that's how Ran encourages me. All of a sudden, it's like he says to me, right? It's like, right? It's all to the glory of God, Jose. Like, shut up, Ran. right? All to the glory of God, right? It's, you know, you know, and again, it's and all of this brings us to this table that we are going to celebrate, right, and partake in. And would you pray with me? Lord, we are grateful that we find ourselves waiting upon you. And Lord, and as we wait upon you, I pray that we would take this time and opportunity to confess the very things that breaks our relationship with the Holy God. And Lord, we do pray for mercy. And Lord, we ask, not only because you are Jehovah Adonai, but we ask because of this reverent fear that we have of who you are. And Lord, our asking for this is really out of obedience, out of the fear, Lord. And Lord, we wait upon you, the very one that can provide it for each and every one of us. And Lord, as we come to the table, I pray that you would meet us here. We thank you and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.